What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, August 24th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside one of the busiest ladies in the business, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Greg?
Being back with you. It's been too long.
I know.
It's been too long.
How was your travel?
It was good. Cisco's wedding was fantastic, of course. Chicago was good. I held it down. I got to show Jen the old mall that we used to go to, because I heard the old mall was dying, you know, and it is. But then I got to walk around there. It's still doing good. I'll tell you one of the most popular attractions at the old mall, Andrea.
Which old mall is
Stratford
that?
Stratford Square Mall, Bloomingdale, okay. Illinois. One of the most popular attractions now at this Stratford Square Mall is an arcade. They have a giant arcade in Bowling Alley there, and there was kids in there. There was this crew of DDR dancers in there with
amazing
towels and water bottles. It was like they clearly come every day after school and play. I was like, more power to you. You know what
nice.
I'm talking about? Yeah.
I think Epic really needs to get into the arcade business, make a Fortnite cabinet.
I think they're doing just fine.
No, but like it would help arcade owners around the country.
Sure, but it would take away from Epic, right?
I mean, no, it would not.
Kids aren't playing there. You know what I mean? There was a rumor today. I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen. First off, slow news day. You don't even have to tell it in the comments. We had a number one great story about a number two of somebody shitting in a bag at Gamescom, waiting to play Fortnite, and then Nick Chester had to come out and say he's at Gamescom. This did not happen. Lame. I was very excited for that story.
There was a whole Reset Era thread about it.
Exactly. And I appreciate that Reset Era went in, self-policed, crossed it all out. Here's Nick Chester. It wasn't real. Awesome. Andrea, how was your travels? You went places too.
I did. So I went home to North Dakota to see my new baby niece and a friend of mine who was visiting from Belgium. He was a foreign exchange student when I was in high school. And it was great. It was a short trip, just a couple of days.
Sure.
But always good to see the fam.
Yeah. And now you're back playing video games, getting ready for PAX.
That's right. It's going to be a crazy week next week.
Uh-huh. We'll get into it in a second. But first, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindafunny.com/KFGD, with your questions, comments, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. You can watch us record it live. Of course, if you're watching us record it live, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. PAX is next week, and again, we're all over it. Greg, Jared, Andrea, and more than 20 of your favorite video game personalities are squaring off in the Kinda Funny Intersight Championship Saturday, 7 p.m. in the Hydra Theater. Shout out to Roger Porconi. I didn't say this before. Made a hot teaser video for us on that. I paid him. Don't worry. I didn't just do it for fun. Of all that, you can catch on Twitter.
I was going to ask who made that. Roger, nice graphics
work. Roger Former. Everybody go over on Twitter. Give him some love. He's great. He knows what he's doing. Meanwhile, Greg, Jared, Corey Barlog, and more are talking about the perfect Superman game Friday at 3 p.m. in the Wyvern Theater. And then Andrea and What's Good Games have a whole bunch of stuff planned, but most importantly, Friday night, you're doing a Life is Strange party.
Yeah.
Where's that?
It's at Unicorn, and because we had such a great turnout last year when we only had downstairs, we bought out the whole place this time.
Yeah, nice. Cool.
It's going to be great, and it's open to anybody 21 and over who lives in the Seattle area. You don't have to have a PAX badge to go.
RSVPs or anything?
We are asking people to RSVP at the Facebook event just so we have an idea of how many people are going to come. Because last year, we asked the same thing, and we grossly underestimated how many people were going to show up. So a lot of people came last year.
So this year, you're thinking smarter. You're going to do this. You buy out the whole place. You're all set to do it.
And the first 100 people in line get free drinks. Ooh. There's going to be t-shirts. There's going to be custom Life is Strange pins. It's going to be a great time.
And then you're doing a bunch of panels. But then Sunday, 10 a.m., Hydra Stage as well. It is the What's Good Games panel.
Exactly.
Come on, see you, Steimer.
What's Good Games Live,
Scott from Seattle writes into kindafunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hey, Greg and Andrea. I'm excited to hear about the PAX plans. Unfortunately, I don't have tickets. Are there any events or meetups outside of PAX? I'd love to meet up with fellow best friends and patrons. Thanks for the great daily entertainment, Scott from Seattle." So as we said, your party, Friday night. No badges needed, nothing needed.
A valid ID that says you're 21
nothing,
or older.
No shoes, no shirt, no problem, they say. Just walk
we'll
on.
We'll turn you away.
And then, if you remember last year at PAX, the Kinda Funny community meetup was something incredibly special. Because we just went to somebody's house, their apartment building, If you follow us on any of the communities and anything else, we're working on that again. And that's all we'll say about it. You'll have to find it the other ways. Because we don't want just every Tom, Dick, and Harry showing up. You know what I mean? We want the hardcore best friend, Scott. So keep your ear to the ground there. And if Joey Noel ever fucking figures it out, we'll do that. Then Patreon fan mail is ending very soon for the month of August. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny or patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to get one of these exclusive photos signed by the champ, Nick Scarpino. You go there. There are different photos for patreon.com/kindoffunny and kindoffunnygames. You can get in there, get a signed photo of him. Jesus Christ, what are we? And then today we're brought to you.
To me that there's a little bit of Scarpino nipple poking through
nip there.
Here.
He was getting excited during the shoot. Then today we're brought to you by MeUndies, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Three items on the Roper Report, Cool Greg.
A baker's dozen.
Number one, Cyberpunk 2077 is playable start to finish. This is from an interview Jessica Condit has over on Engadget. Fascinating interview. Whole bunch of information there as she talks to a producer, Richard Borzy Mousk. But there's the one that I think the most interesting tidbit comes at the very end. Cyberpunk 2077 has been in development for at least 6 years, and its team recently hit a major milestone. The entire game is playable from start to finish. It doesn't have all the proper assets, playtesting, or bug fixes in place, but seeing the story come together is a critical step in the development process, Richard said. Quote, it gives you the answers to all of your doubts, he said. It just feels great.
Andrea, this is good news.
How far is this game? How far are 6 years in development already? There's no rush. There's no rush for CD Projekt Red to actually get it out. When do you think we actually have Cyberpunk 2077 in hand?
Optimistically, late spring 2019. More realistically, fall 2019. Also possible, Q1 2020.
See, that's my... I think it's a 2020 game at this point. And
spring 2020?
I hope.
I don't know. A year and a half is a long time to do bug fixes and assets. That's like a long time.
Yeah, but I mean, the proper assets, right? And it's such a big game, too. Like, mm-hmm. Think about how hard it is to playtest a giant open world RPG. Think about, like,
true.
Fallout New Vegas, where if you wear the helmet on or the hat on the strip, everything crashes. You know what I mean? Like, it's complicated. And I feel like since it's our most ambitious game, they're going to be really, really, really testing it.
Yeah.
I looked back into, you know, of course, Witcher 3 dropped in 2015. Wikipedia claims it spent 4 years in development pretty much from 2011 on. At least 2011 is when mm-hmm. they were working
and
on
it. And they supported that game a long time with DLC.
They sure did, yeah. And that's, I think, you know, that's really when CD Projekt Red won the hearts and minds of so many a gamer with their free content, with right. their thank you note inside the box, with, you know, giving you basically another game in Blood and Wine, right, where that was a huge, huge game.
And the troubling part, though, is that you can't really compare CD or Cyberpunk's development with The Witcher, because Cyberpunk kind of had a tumultuous start and they went silent for quite a long time while they were mm-hmm. retooling some things, and so it's nice to know that they have like a solid vision for the full game start yeah. to finish now, and now they're just kind of like filling in the pieces.
Man, I would love to believe it's 2019, but I just can't. I just don't want to get hurt. You know what I mean? I just don't want to get hurt, Andrea. But
you
yeah,
keep your expectations low.
Yeah, I think you come out and do a big presentation again at E3, but like, you know, show it to everybody on somebody's stage, and then yeah, hopefully say 2020 at the
they
end.
They can't
that.
Show it at E3 more than one more time.
You don't think so?
I mean, they can technically if yeah, we're yeah. gonna like mince words, but
yeah, yeah. Right. How many times did Witcher 3 win IGN's Game of the Show?
Too many. but I would like to see this fall 2019.
That'd be awesome. We'll see.
We'll see.
I should have left that one last because that would have been a good transition to the games list.
It
but
would have
you know,
been.
Whatever. It does, you know, sometimes you get apples, sometimes you get crabs. Number two, Nintendo Labo's vehicle kit has been announced and it's compatible with Mario Kart on the Switch. Adam Bankhurst from IGN writes in. And hey, I just want to say shout out to Adam Bankhurst for being a true blue Kinda Funny best friend. Yesterday I read one of his questions as a you know from kindafunny.com/KFGD, and I saw the name and I was like, this guy writes for IGN, right? And then I looked and got the byline today. I was like, well, there you go. I want him in on Kinda Funny Games Daily. He lives in Ohio, so we're working on it. Adam writes, When the Nintendo Labo vehicle kit launches this September for the Nintendo Switch, players will be able to use the Toy-Con car, pedal, and key to play Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Announced by Nintendo, the Nintendo Labo vehicle kit will join the Nintendo Labo Toy-Con motorbike as a viable way to control Mario, Yoshi, or your other favorite characters in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. If you're a listener with a keen eye or ear, you might be like, ah, there it is. Because that's what was confusing to me when I first saw the headline. I'm like, I thought they announced this already. They earlier had announced the motorbike was going to be compatible, and now they're talking about the Nintendo Labo vehicle kit that has the car, the pedal, and the key. I like the key. That's a cool touch. I digress. Back to Adam. As shown in the video that you can't see because this is on Games Daily, players can use the Toy-Con car steering wheel to control your character while the pedal can be used to drift and rev your engine at the beginning for a boosted start. Players can also honk the horn to throw an item. The Nintendo Labo vehicle kit launches on September 14th, 2018 for $69.99 USD and includes the Toy-Con car and also allows you to create a Toy-Con submarine, Toy-Con plane, and more.
I have to say, I'm real skeptical about putting a Joy-Con in a foot pedal.
What are you talking about?
Oh, you know, just the possibility of smashing your Joy-Con accidentally in the heat of passion and while you're racing.
Slamming it, pedal to the metal.
It sounds like a terrible idea.
Hey, man.
Those things are not cheap.
The cardboard's durable enough.
They're $40 a piece, Joy-Cons, and you have to buy them in a pair, which is $80.
Yeah, I know that. I'm aware that they're expensive.
Don't put your foot on them.
You know what? They've got to be durable, right? I haven't heard that many stories about them getting broken. Kids are playing with them. And the kids, they got these little fucking kid feet. Kid feet can't put that much pressure down, right?
Just make sure mom and dad don't play then.
Yeah, well, come on. Any Mario Kart pro ain't going to be like super stoked and like into it that way.
You never know.
I guess I don't. I don't, but I think, you know, you spend all... Here's my thing with Labo.
Okay.
I spend the hours building it, and this is hypothetical because God knows I haven't done it.
You've never built a single Labo thing.
No.
Me neither.
Yeah, exactly. You spend the hours building it. I think you're going to be cognizant of, all right, now I don't want to wreck it. I don't want to crash it. I don't want to get water or coffee all over or any other liquid.
You as an adult would be cognizant.
Sure.
Yes.
And the kid, though, again, they got these little kid's arms. You ever seen a kid's arm like a pipe cleaner? This is why I'm always talking about it. If a kid talks shit to me, I could beat him up. No, that's true. One of them big dumb kids. Number three, Riot's doing a bloody promotion. See what I did there? This is from friend of the show, Rebecca from gamesindustry.biz. Of course, she's in the Kind of Funny Inner Sight tournament for the Per Schneider Championship at PAX. Rebecca writes, in an effort to promote blood donation in the Netherlands, Riot Games has partnered with Blood Bank Sanquin to offer an in-game skin to players who donate blood. The promotion plays on the idea of a person getting first blood or the first kill in a League of Legends match by urging players to donate blood for the first time through Sanquin. The campaign goes through December, and anyone who goes to their first Sanquin appointment during the time will receive a Blood Moon Thresh skin in-game.
They should do this in the United States.
I agree.
The Netherlands, not that big of a place. The United States, a pretty big place.
But I think that's probably why they're doing it, right? I think
testing.
Exactly. You get to the American Red Cross and you want to donate blood. That's spanning a whole bunch of places. That's a lot more, and you're giving away a lot more stuff. Whereas this is a cool promotion, I think, admittedly. And
Riot can afford to give away a skin.
Can they anymore?
Yes, they can.
Fortnite's eating everybody's lunch.
Trust me. They have more than enough money to cover people helping donate blood. You can do it, right? I believe in you.
Do you need to be motivated to donate blood in America? I feel like a lot of people do it already.
No, I think you need a carrot. Because yeah. I think it's one of those things that unless you are regularly going, like I know some people regularly donate plasma because you can get paid for that.
Sure. College kids do it a lot. I remember doing that. A lot of college friends did that.
But like, I think a lot of us just get so involved in our day-to-day lives that we don't stop and think, oh, when was the last time I donated blood?
Yeah.
You know, and like any kind of a carrot to get people to help out is, I don't think, a bad thing.
My uncle, God rest his soul, did it was written up in the Daily Herald and all the local papers because he did it like some obscene amount where he was there every week on his appointment to give blood for however many years, and like it was a big deal. So there you go.
Be
like
him.
My uncle, he didn't need a Riot skin to go donate blood. You go donate blood right now, or if you're in the Netherlands, wait to get the Riot skin.
Yeah, you can listen to this show while you're sitting in the chair giving blood.
There you go. You could, yeah, and then you get a cookie afterwards. Some OJ.
Maybe some juice, yeah.
There you go. It's a good deal, giving blood. I used to always be a big fan. When they'd come through campus, I'd go do it. You know what I mean? All right. Yeah, see, this would have been a good place for a transition about dates, but it's hard to make the blood transition head over. It's hard to make a blood transfusion. Andrew, if I wanted something easy, like a list of games that came to the mom and grop shop, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Record time. Out today. Distrust is on Xbox One. Don't Sink is on Xbox One. Earthworms is on Switch. F1 2018 is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. Haunted Halloween 86, parentheses, The Curse of Possum Hollow, Xbox One. That game sounds... I'm in. I don't know what that is, but
I'm going to Google it right now.
Thank you very much. Little Dragon's Cafe comes to PlayStation 4 and Switch. Night Trap, the 25th Anniversary Edition, lands on Switch. Phantom Doctrine. Doctrine lands on Xbox One. Planet of the Apes Last Frontier, it comes on Xbox One. Space Ribbon is on Switch. Spectrum is on Xbox One. We're looking over here at Haunted. Oh, it's like a... Oh, okay. Now I'm out. Nope, now I'm out. Sorry, Haunted Halloween 86. It looks like an NES game, right? Like, yeah. It kind of looks like a... Maniac
like 16-bit? Yeah,
something like that.
Side-scrolling, yeah.
More power to you, though. Planet of the Apes Lost Frontier, Space Ribbon on Switch, Spectrum on Xbox One. Here's some news for you if you're a Fortnite fan. If you enable two-factor authentication for your Epic Games account, you'll now unlock the Boogie Down skin. Plus, something that we missed in one of the latest patches, you can now thank the bus driver. As you jump out of the party bus, you're able to thank the bus driver. So that's cool. Mercury Steam has rebranded their independent title, Raiders of the Broken Planet, as Space Lords, and offered it to all players as a free-to-play game and added 25% more content on top of it all. It's on Xbox and PC. And then, Andrea adds, thank you very much, NBA Live 19 has a free demo available today on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. Reading from the press release, I assume. In the demo, players will get a first look at The Rise, the game's all-new career mode and live events, which will give players ongoing content and challenges. As an added bonus, all progress and content unlocked during the demo will carry over to the full game when it launches on September 7th. Cool. I'm sure there's no other competition for September 7th. Nothing else is coming out.
Two different types of games.
No, fuck no.
I mean, there's a diehard NBA Live following. Like, there's a ton of people that play that game.
I'll give you, there's a diehard NBA 2K fan. There's a diehard NBA 2K audience.
There's both, trust me.
The NBA Live audience loves Spider-Man just as much as everybody else does. All right?
Everybody loves Spider-Man.
Everybody fucking loves Spider-Man. new dates for you. I'm taking this one from GamesIndustry.biz, where James Batchelor says, a new version of the acclaimed mobile game Reigns will release this October based on the smash hit fantasy series Game of Thrones. The partnership between HBO, Devolver Digital, and UK developer Nerial will see Reigns Game of Thrones launch on iOS, Android, and PC and is available for pre-order. The title enables fans to play through various possible futures for key characters such as Daenerys Targaryen, Jon Snow, Sansa Stark, and both Cersei and Tyrion Lannister. You've played Reigns?
Yes, so okay. I got a test build of this game.
Oh, you've played this game?
Yeah, so I have it on my phone right now. So
I wasn't sure if you were allowed to say that. Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was saying
that. Yeah, so they gave me a test build to check it out. It's not the full game, I don't believe.
Okay.
But I talk about it at length on What's Good Games this week. But it's fun. I had never played the original Reigns.
From what you showed me, so is it text-based? Like, you're moving cards or whatever.
Yeah, it's like a choose-your-own-adventure.
Okay, so they give you the thing, and then you say, like, you were doing... I saw one of the ones was, like, yes or no, right?
Yeah, so the basic premise is you swipe left... for yes, swipe right for no, or maybe it's reversed. But
you swipe right in Tinder for
not,
yes.
It's so not it's just basic yes and no. Some questions are, but it took me like 3 deaths in the game because the idea is to go as many moons as possible.
How long your
on
reign
the Iron
lasts,
Throne.
Right?
Yes, yeah, okay. Exactly. I didn't realize if you hold down as you're swiping, the text of the choice actually comes up. So now that I know that, but it's really fun. There's a lot of cameos from characters from the franchise. It's a perfect partnership. It's really fantastic that a company like Devolver was able to work with a company as massive as HBO.
Yeah.
A really fun little title. So, and it's only $3.99.
That I think that's the interesting thing about it is I for the longest time, and I think the way they want to be marketed, Devolver is that we're the renegade indie label. We're making all these cool fucking weird games mm-hmm. that nobody else will publish. Where the fuck is Ape Out? I will keep asking until they tell me. But to see them get to a point now where, yeah, they're working within HBO, and also in the same breath, see HBO be like, all right, cool. We're going to go the way I've always talked about wanting to see other people treat their property, right? Of, all right, Star Wars. It doesn't have to go to EA. What can we do with the Star Wars IP and find someone who's doing something cool? This Reigns game is cool, right? It's found an audience, but an audience would be much larger if it was. We're using an IP everybody cares about.
Right.
Nice partnership. Go get him, Devolver. Kill more people in this year's press conference. Andrea.
Yes, Greg.
It's time for reader mail. But first, I'm going to tell you it's brought to you by MeUndies. We keep talking about MeUndies because we love MeUndies. As you know, I got my first set of MeUndies. I threw away the rest of my undies, bought more MeUndies. I only wear MeUndies. I'm wearing them right now. If I'm lying, I'm dying. MeUndies, of course, lets you go online to MeUndies.com. Pick the patterns you want, the style of underwear you want, and they're shipped right to your door with cool patterns and cool everything else. Tim and I love them. Everybody knows. They're super soft, and you get a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you're not into it, just send them back for a full refund. And now they're doing the MeUndies monthly membership. Members gain access to exclusive prints that no one else can get, and they get special member pricing on every product MeUndies makes, and you can switch styles or skip any month you want. Get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee by going to MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. That's MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. Andrea.
Yes, Greg.
Last night, a little thing called the, what's the fucking real word for it? 500,000 limited edition PlayStation 4 Pro. The clear PlayStation 4.
Yeah, the fancy blue one.
That we had around here until Kevin took it home. That one went on sale for all of 3 minutes, and everyone's pissed. Joe writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, is there a better way to handle limited edition runs? Last night, I attempted to get the limited edition PlayStation 4 Pro. With only 50,000 available, parentheses, and I assume a good chunk of them allocated abroad, I knew my odds were slim to get a console. I knew I'd have to sit there hitting refresh, and when it started to go live, it was the classic case of websites crashing and items disappearing from carts when you try to buy it. I get it. It's a hot item. But in other worlds of limited editions, you enter a raffle. This lets everyone have an equal shot. Not to have hope the website doesn't collapse and you get the item. You get a set amount of time to complete your purchase, and if you don't, someone gets another chance. It is much more orderly and frankly fair to those of us who want to buy something there isn't enough of. Thoughts? I feel like the current system only favors scalpers.
He's not wrong. Joe, they definitely could have run this better. Now, PlayStation has done limited editions for several things. I know most recently the sneakers that they had.
Sure.
A lot of people were really upset about not being able to get their hands on those. That also was just 20th like
anniversary of PlayStation 4
was a big deal. The supply was really low, so of course the demand was high. 50,000 units is obviously not that many, but it's not like 2,000 units, right?
Sure.
So, John, being the sneakerhead that he is, uses the sneakers app all the time to kind of get in the lottery system for fancy shoes that come out. And that's a nice system where it is like a lottery. You'll get selected and then you have X amount of time to make your purchase. And
yeah.
There's no reason why PlayStation couldn't do it that way. They just don't.
I feel you're right. The sneaker thing and what Joe's talking about here with the sneaker stuff, I've seen that done before. I've never participated, but I hear a lot of things. I always see people in the morning screenshotting that you got them or whatever. And it's the shoe and like the mm-hmm. Nike Swoosh and everything. Clearly they figured it out. I feel the detriment here is that PlayStation does it so rarely that they never investigate how to do it that way, right? And it's not even really, stick with me, on PlayStation as much because rarely are they doing it directly. You're going to Amazon, you're going to Best Buy, you're going to Walmart.
But they easily could have made this console a PlayStation Store exclusive.
Sure. Like, but would that piss off all the retail partners? Is that part of it?
I mean, sure, but whatever. I mean, if it's an exclusive limited edition console,
yeah.
They do exclusive limited deals all the time.
That's true.
I mean, like there's like, look at GameStop and the limited deals they do with Nintendo for like a special version of the 3DS or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like it's possible. They just didn't do it.
I feel, and I'm not trying to be corporate apologist of it, it's just a headache they don't want to deal with. You know what I mean? Where it is, all right, cool. We're going to make this thing. We think it's cool. We're going to celebrate 500,000 units being out there, but we don't want to fuck with it.
I hear you.
Yeah.
But how is it not more or less of a headache to have to allocate. This retailer gets X amount of units in this region. This retailer gets X amount of units in this region, and et cetera, down the line.
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, we're going to sell them all ourselves.
Well, I feel like
we're going to manage all the inventory.
I bet the gear store couldn't handle it or whatever. Like, that, it's not built for that kind of thing. It's the same thing of like, when we do a giveaway, we want, it's not the same thing, but it's like, I can only think of it as how bad our business, and when we try to go outside of what we normally do and how it fucks up nonstop.
Yeah.
Hey, we're announcing fucking prom tickets. Go to kindoffunny.com/ Oh, it's already down. Our site wasn't prepared. And I know that. Don't get me wrong. I'll stop you before you even get there, Andrew Renee. PlayStation/Sony is a multi-billion-dollar company. They could allocate somebody to fix this.
Thank you.
But they can't fucking fix PSN
names.
They
already have an app, Greg. They have the PlayStation app.
Yeah.
All you do is say, hey, if you want a shot at buying one of these consoles, you have to have the PlayStation app installed on your phone. You go to the app. You sign up for a lottery ticket at this time. And then we'll let you know if you were selected. And then you'll get an email through your PlayStation account, and they'll tell you when you could buy your PlayStation.
I feel like you could even do it in, like, so what Joe's saying, I think, is revealing very much a portion of the market that wants this. Because today, the Games Daily questions, Reset Era, all looking all over Twitter, is littered with horror stories of this, of people not being able to do it. There was one gentleman whose question didn't make it, who was talking about, like, he put the kids to bed, his wife went to bed, he had like three different, or maybe eight different, like, devices open, refreshing, and then it was that the time Amazon went earlier than everybody else, and then Best Buy went later than they said they were going to, and it was like this giant, like, fuck, how do you make this work? I feel there's an opening in the market for an Amazon or a Best Buy or whoever to be like, hey, cool, everybody else is just doing the Wild West, we're doing it this way. Get the Best Buy app, get the Amazon app, you know, log in and do this. And hopefully that would stop the scalpers, because the other thing I was seeing were the screenshots of some guy on Reddit saying he had eight. Maybe he's lying or whatever, but and he had maybe not eight, but multiple. He had multiple, and he's like, hooray for scalpers. Like, it was like, well, that fucking sucks that, like, the person, the guy with the kid and the wife who loves PlayStation can't get his hands on this. And meanwhile, this, and I had text messages from friends who were like, fuck, I tried, but if you hear of anybody selling it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well, it's the really unfortunate part about this is that it's really where you live will probably influence whether you have more or less access. And that's really, like, unfair, sure. Right? There's got to be a better way. There is a better way.
There has to be a better way. I don't know. And it's always that shitty thing of, so many people are like, couldn't they make more? And couldn't they do this? And it's the thing of, yeah, but there's never going to be enough. No matter, and then when there is enough, nobody cares anymore. And they're not selling when you're sitting on these things forever. It's such a ball of wax that I just feel for all parties involved. That there's just no way to win. So don't do anything.
I don't feel for PlayStation here.
Whatever. Spider-Man PlayStation 4 edition looks better.
They make more than enough money to handle this.
You know what? But you... You've seen it, right? The PSN. You understand.
I know.
They've shown us time and time again. There's things they just can't do. Go to the gear store. Buy those PlayStation lights. Jeff wrote in the same vein, to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, KFGD crew. Wanted to write in on the day of the special edition PlayStation 4 Pro release. Unfortunately, I was unable to order one, but I am still looking to upgrade my PS4 to a Pro. Part of the reason I was really looking at the 500 million edition was because of the 2 terabyte hard drive. Obviously, the style of it is amazing, but I currently have a 2 terabyte drive in my launch PlayStation 4 and didn't want to downgrade to the standard 1 terabyte in stock Pro models. Obviously, I could buy a 1 terabyte Pro and just upgrade the drive as I did with my launch PlayStation 4 Pro or my launch PlayStation 4, but I really wish there was a stock 2 terabyte Pro model. I guess my question is, does the Kinda Funny crew foresee a 2 terabyte Pro being released in the near future, or should I be prepared to upgrade it myself? If you think it may be coming, what do you think the release date slash price would be? Thanks for always keeping me entertained. Jeff.
Sounds like a nice holiday item.
You think they'll do it? I feel like
it's a good way to incentivize people who maybe bought in at the generation change, like back in, you know, 2013, 2014. And want to upgrade to a Pro.
Yeah.
Say, hey, the 2 terabytes now going to be standard. It's going to launch in October or November, time for Black Friday and the gift giving season. Seems like a right time.
I assume, can you give me a check? The Spider-Man PlayStation 4 Pro bundle must be 1 terabyte as well. I didn't even notice it until I was doing the unboxing that the 500 edition, or my unboxing, because obviously Tim did it here on the show, that it was 2 terabytes that slipped past my PlayStation radar, that it was a bigger hard drive than the stock standard. I fall into the camp of Maybe, but like, why do you care, Jeff? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I would totally just buy a regular PlayStation Pro and then put the bigger hard drive in it. I like that hard drives are swappable. I like that it's easy. You might as well just do it. Not to mention you have one in your PlayStation 4 already, right? So if...
Best Buy still has pre-orders available.
For the
Spider-Man.
Oh, they released more. So like the first wave came out and then they put out more.
1 terabyte.
Yeah, yeah. If you could get your hard drive down... Well, see, I always do it different. I forget when I got my Pro if I actually did the long, like, we're going to download over 9 hours thing, or if I just deleted it and rebuilt it with the games I wanted there.
I was talking about this, I think with Tim, either this week or last week, about how they just need to make these hard drives bigger. It's unreasonable that both Xbox and PlayStation are essentially forcing fans who want to go digital to buy external storage,
sure,
or to replace the internal storage themselves. It's, yeah, like, why?
Do you bump into the limit a lot?
Oh, I had to buy a 4 terabyte
Holy
drive.
Okay.
I was tired of deleting games. Like, if I got a new game, I don't want to go through my library and delete something. Mm. What if I get like a whim and I want to go play like Mass Effect Andromeda or
download
whatever
it.
You know,
download it.
No, I don't, yeah, want to wait to download
it's
again.
It's gonna be 10 minutes. You're in San Francisco with internet.
I know, but even with my 1 gigabyte up and down,
yeah,
internet, like, yeah, it's still not fast enough.
See, for me,
because you have to wait for the PSN's network.
Oh, sure.
That's where the funnel is.
Totally rely on them to pre-order your systems, though, Andrea. Give them all the power for the limited editions. I'm sure that wouldn't blow up in your face.
Oh, my gosh.
For me, it's cathartic, and I really love deleting games from it. When it's like, as soon as I platinum a game, my favorite thing is to pop out, upload the save, woof, delete
no,
it.
I'm I don't
like,
delete, I did it. I don't delete anything.
It's like a to-do list, right? I just cross it out, and it's gone. Go in there, spring cleaning, get to the back of like, I'm never going to play this. Hold on to PT forever. Never getting rid of PT. PT's right there, but everything else is like, whatever.
I think we have PT on a hard drive somewhere.
Smart.
Just to make sure.
Smart. Somebody's got to protect it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just like Flappy Bird on your iPhone.
Oh, no. I got rid of that right away.
Where do I want to go next? I guess I'll go to Joe. Another Joe. This is Joe Archia. Joe Archia wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, regarding the price of entry to consoles and games, have you seen or kept up with this? It's been, mm-mm, a thread throughout this week of Jared talking about, you know, the barrier to entry for the price of consoles, and then yesterday's rumor of this Xbox or this like lease your own Xbox thing to get it with Game Pass and
yeah,
Xbox Live. I was recently at a friend's party in a small group, everyone in their late 20s. We got to playing Fortnite in a pass-the-controller type of way. One girl really enjoyed her experience. She played on Switch and expressed interest in possibly buying a Switch as her phone was an older model and incapable of running Fortnite. However, her sticker shock was notable when we told her the retail price of consoles, and she also expected other games like Mario Kart to be free to play just like Fortnite. I think the group did a sufficient job of explaining why such prices are the way they are, as well as why Fortnite and the free-to-play market works the way it does. But even with our explanations, her attitude flipped to, it's not worth it stance. How do you go about explaining the cost of technology, specifically video games, to people who are very interested in playing, but not playing? I thought this might give another point of view, not only on how free-to-play games are impacting the perception of the entire industry, but on the barrier to entry some people still encounter when faced with the price tag, even if they know enjoyment awaits them after their purchase. Also, I'm the guy who got Gary Wood a signed copy of Abomination. Read it, loved it, I recommend it to others frequently. All the best. Joe Archia. Andrea,
mm-hmm,
have you dealt with this problem? Meeting someone, they play a game, they enjoy the game, and then you have to tell them how much all this would cost.
Not particularly.
I feel like I run into it with VR, because VR is the thing, the dog and pony show.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, no, come over, play this thing. Oh my God, this is amazing. We'd love to have this. Cool. You need this console, you need these controllers. I recommend.
The barrier to entry in VR is really high.
Right. Even here, I mean, I understand the idea of you're playing Fortnite. Oh, it's free. That's awesome. How much does the Switch cost? Oh my gosh. Like, that's when you're thinking about it. The argument I would make, or when I talk to people, of course,
tell them to play on their phone.
Well, sure, of course. Yeah, if you just want that's why it's a great Trojan horse too, right? Of like, mm-hmm, oh, you've already played it with a controller. Now play it on your phone. Not as tight, whatever. You're like, oh, well, when you play, and then think about one day coming over and doing something, or doing this lease to Xbox program for just $39.99 a month. I feel it's the idea of the gateway drug, whether the gateway drug is playing Fortnite on the phone, playing it here, but then explaining the fact that yeah, there are other experiences out there and building a library. And with the programs that are like Xbox Live, you know, Games with Gold, PlayStation Plus, or now the Nintendo service, right? It's a very interesting time of you can own a console and have this weird minimal investment that gives you a wealth of games, whether on Xbox it is Game Pass, right, where there's hundreds of games for you to jump in and play at will. But it is that idea of the Trojan horse gateway drug of getting somebody through the door the first time because they love one thing. And I've seen that work a bunch of times, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'll never forget when my mom told me after playing at Thanksgiving in 2006, after playing the Wii for the first time, right, of like, I'd really like one of these. And I was like, what? Like, you want a current generation video game console? You've never ever said anything like that. But bowling was enough. And then she, you know, you saw the attach rate climb up. And granted, Wii was a different experience, but in a lot of ways, so is the Switch. In a lot of ways, so are the other things, especially when you get down to, if you, for some reason, they're getting hooked on PlayStation, they're watching you play God of War, Spider-Man, Fortnite there. The idea that, well, now it's your media center. It has your Netflix. It has your Hulu. It has all these different things. It's about trying to explain, I guess, yeah, the wealth of possibilities.
It's tough, particularly in this day and age, because there's a whole generation of people who are built in with this expectation that content is free.
Yeah.
This YouTube era, streaming music, Twitch streaming, this idea that you can get easy access to works of media without having a price.
Yeah.
And that is setting an unfortunate precedent that you shouldn't have to pay for things, you know, and that's unfortunate for a variety of reasons that I don't need to explain here.
Of course.
I think it's pretty obvious, but I would hope that somebody who enjoyed her experience doing something would understand, like, it's going to cost something. Sometimes when I kind of balk at a price, if I see something and get the sticker shock,
yeah,
I'll think about how many drinks at a bar, yep, I would buy for,
exactly,
that price. Or I'll think about, like, oh, a dinner that I spent the exact same amount of money
for
on
me,
it.
Especially,
and go, was that dinner worth more than this thing that I'm going to get X amount of hours of enjoyment out of?
For me, especially talking to somebody who wants to game but doesn't game, I think movies are always the great analog. All right, well, how much do you spend when you go to the movies to watch a movie, right? Where it's like, all right, your ticket is $12, right? You're with somebody else, so that's $12. You had the gas, or you had this, you had food, you had a drink when you got there, you went to dinner before. And think about what that experience of 4 hours cost you versus what this game that's going to be, if it's Fortnite, unlimited, or however long you think you'll play, but, like, you know, a story campaign of 30 hours or something like that. That's where it really adds up of, like, well, no, this is a good investment in terms of time you're getting out of it, right?
Exactly.
We solved it. There you go. Oh, let's jump around and see what's going on over here. Space Time Dave, who hasn't written in a while, good to see you, Space Time Dave, writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, happy Friday, Greg and Andrea. I was looking over my game library this generation and comparing it to my last generation game library, and it got me thinking, are we getting fewer games by publisher this generation? I see Naughty Dog with 4 games released on PlayStation 3, but with The Last of Us 2, it'll be 2 this generation. You know, you're fudging that. Well, Lost Legacy, kind of standalone. Last of Us was remastered. Then you have Uncharted 4. Then you'll have Last of Us Part 2. But I digress. Rockstar had 8 console games released last generation. And Red Dead 2 will be the first of this generation. Again, GTA 5, but I hear you. 4 main Halo games released last gen. And only 1 so far this gen. Insomniac had 10 games last gen. And Spider-Man will be their 4th game this gen. What's going on? Are dev cycles getting longer? Are they making more money on DLC, thus de-incentivizing more releases? Or are they simply changing strategies to guarantee higher quality games? I'd love to hear if you've noticed a similar trend and what may be behind it. Thanks, and leave that chicken alone. You all are in committed relationships. What's going on, Andrew?
I think it's a little bit of column A, column B. The development cycles are getting longer because I think particularly for AAA, these kind of blockbuster games, the expectations are higher and higher. I also think DLC and games as live services,
sure,
have really come up in a big way this generation that didn't really exist outside of PC last gen. And so now if you take a game like a Destiny or a Warframe or a Rainbow Six, For Honor, any of these games that have sustained life cycles beyond launch, those publishers don't need to put out another game if they can just supplement the base game they've already invested in.
Yep.
I think that's really like the short answer here.
Yeah, I think there's a million different things at play. And when you go developer to developer, publisher to publisher, you're seeing different reasons why. Why I think, you know, Take-Two or a Rockstar isn't putting out more games is different to an extent than why I think Naughty Dog isn't putting out more games. I think when, you know, he brings up Sucker Punch, he brings up Red Dead, he brings up a lot. I think there is a big thing of quality in there. And I do think that last generation saw video games hit their stride in terms of what the spectrum is now and what you expect from a AAA game, what you expect from an indie in that middle fall way. And I won't bore you to death the same analogies over and over again. But I do think it is that it is an art form. There's no more arguing about it. Not that there was an our side of the camera or our side of the industry versus the public perception. But it is that people want to take their time and they want to get it right. Nobody just wants to shit out games anymore. And what you're saying is the quality is the biggest part of it. Where I talk about this show all the time. People write in, why didn't this game get more? It got a 7.8. It got an 8.1. Why didn't it get more love from everybody else? It's like, You can no longer be a really good game and expect to get traction because there's
too much competition.
There's amazing game after amazing game after. I turn on my Switch, I turn on my PlayStation 4, and I'm overwhelmed with games that are incredible. And on any year could be a game of year contender, but you need to make those choices. So when you find a game that it's good but it's not great, well, that's a kiss of death, and you can't do that. And you're seeing publishers get hip to that, and developers, as always, want to make the best thing possible. And so I feel like the gun might be pulled back from their heads on a lot of times, whereas before it was, you have 9 months to put out a Spider-Man game, Beenox, you have 9 months to put out a Spider-Man game, make it happen. And granted, that was, contracts, it was whatever. Mm-hmm. But again, now you have, in this example of Spider-Man and Marvel, right, now you have Marvel Games being like, Bill Roseman, I want to take the best IP in the world that I think is Marvel Games, and I want to give that to talented developers, and I want them to take their time. And now we're about to see if that pays off with Spider-Man in 2 weeks, right? Yeah, 2 weeks, jeez.
I have no doubt it's going to pay off.
If it doesn't, Brian Itahar better run, because I am coming to beat his ass. Hog a Nation writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, not a question, but more of a suggestion. Last episode, Kyle mentioned that he couldn't pick up another game due to his anticipation for Insomniac's Spider-Man. Well, Kyle, do I have a suggestion for you. If you enjoy reading, check out Spider-Man Hostile Takeover, the official prequel to the upcoming game. The book is going for $6.47 on Amazon and $5.99 for a digital copy. I'm only a few chapters in, but discovering how characters are established in this new world is scratching that itch for me, and hopefully it'll do the same for you. Thanks for such a great show, Hog a Nation. Great suggestion, Hog a Nation. I forgot about that. It dropped. I saw it, and I'm like, whew, reading without pictures. Not for me. No, I'm kidding.
See, I only read without pictures.
Really? You got to read some comics. Some
I have a couple graphic novels that I...
What do you think about reading?
What do I think about reading?
What are the couple of the graphic novels you have?
Oh, well, I mean, the only graphic novel that I've actually finished is The Watchmen.
Oh, okay, great. Good one.
One of the best.
Yeah.
I have an anthology that I got from the Skybound event.
Oh, yeah, The Walking Dead.
That's like the first episode or the first edition of like a bunch of their different properties.
Right, I forgot about that. I was thinking of a different one. That's cool. Get on it.
I don't know if that counts as a graphic novel. Probably not.
Yeah, it's a trade paperback. You're fine. I'm not going to stop you. Matt writes in and says this, and I'm not sure. He wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, how's it going, KFGD? Pretty good. Having fun hanging out with you, Matt. I listen to the show every day, and I can't help but notice you guys missed the big announcement that Doom Eternal is coming to Switch.
We did not miss that. We definitely covered it.
I just feel like maybe we had it on a day. It was during the
QuakeCon wrap up. It was a Friday.
I think maybe we didn't make it. Did we not make a big deal about it coming to Switch day and date? I thought we did.
I thought I had a conversation about that. I very specifically mentioned this in the story. I could even pull up the notes, the show notes from that day.
I don't know if you need. Don't nail his ass to the wall, Andrea.
Okay.
With many people speculating that third party support for the Switch would be limited to previous gen ports, does this fill you with hope for the console's future? What impending games could you see making their way to Switch 2? Take that chicken back to Nando's, Matt. P.S. Is there any chance of you guys doing a public meetup when in London? Well, Matt, as usual, as I tell you all the time, we're coming to London for RTX. Just buy a goddamn RTX London ticket. If you remember, if you buy them and you come to our things and fill their things, then we get to bring more people next time, and that's how the system works. Stop all of us just trying to get us outside the convention center. You know what I mean?
I getcha.
Thanks.
The reason it was a story is because Doom Eternal is day and date with the other platforms.
Right.
And that was a big deal because, obviously, with the previous Doom, it took quite a while for it to come to Switch. Now, your question about, does this fill you with hope for the consoles of the future? I'm not sure. I don't know if I want to speculate about what impending games you could see making their way to Switch 2.
Sure.
I think that there's a certain type of game that is always going to be on Switch, but third party has clearly been dragging their feet, bringing their stuff to Switch. And that really is hardware related. And companies saying, hey, we want to focus on getting these games out the door, and then we can worry about porting them to Switch afterwards.
I agree. I feel like that tune's changing. And I don't think it has to do with the success necessarily that Bethesda saw with their other games, Wolfenstein 2, and that's not even a great example, Doom coming out earlier. I think it has to do with the fact that no one can look at the Switch's numbers and not see it as a juggernaut success. None of these developers/publishers can go into an interview and not be asked if their game's coming to Switch, right?
Right.
I think people understand there's a demand, and I think there's just always going to be that divide of Assassin's Creed Odyssey can't run on the Switch, I don't think, and prove me wrong, Ubisoft. But Bethesda obviously found a way to do it with their games and their engines and down. But it's not just Bethesda anymore, right? Like Valkyria Chronicles 4 is day and date. It's coming there, right? And that's a great get for somebody like me that loves Valkyria, and that's a long, awesome game that's going to be there. I think you are seeing publishers see it, figure it out, and decide if their game can. I don't think we're in the same place where you're talking about. We used to be worried about it just being previous generation ports, and you're still seeing that, obviously. Gone Home delayed, but coming. I think you're going to see more and more of these games that can, that have the ability, they're going to go do it.
Yeah, we were talking this morning. Where's Peggle on the Switch?
Great question, Andrea Renee. We are talking about that. EA, are you listening? Hear us loud and clear. Taylor wrote in with a funny thing of when Gary Widow was on the Giant Bombcast. I'll read the anecdote here, right? As the conversation went, he was talking about Gary being pissed off about Bloodstained being canceled on Vita. As the conversation went on, Gary poses the question, who do you think will have the honor of releasing the final Vita game? And without skipping a beat, Jeff Gerstmann loudly proclaims Greg Miller, which I like. Thank you very much. His question is, what Vita game would you develop as the swan song, the Viking funeral for it on Vita Island? If you could make the final Vita game, Andrea, what would it be?
I'm the wrong person to ask.
Just pick one. Just say something. Just go ahead, Andrea.
My gosh, putting me on the spot. The final Vita game?
The answer, of course, is a new Patapon. That's the answer, all right? That's all it had to be. Put on a new Patapon on it. Or, you know what? I saw it too, everybody. I'm sure you saw this. It was burning up the news feeds. After months of just being dead silent, a release date popped up for Patapon 2 Remastered HD for PlayStation 4. I follow, of course, the Patapon Club or whatever it's called on Instagram. They were very excited.
Of course you
no
do.
One knows if it's real yet, if it's a placeholder thing, but it looks like in October we might get Patapon 2 on PlayStation 4. But I don't want to get your hopes up. There's nothing else coming out in October, so that's exciting. You could just play that.
Yeah, there's no other games in October.
Thank God. You know what I mean? Everybody's scared of Patapon Remastered. Andrea, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody has fun playing games together. Today, Joseph Arms needs help on PlayStation 4. His PSN name is John, J-O-H-N, Galt, 002. John Galt 002. Trying to get the last few trophies in Final Fantasy 15 Comrades. The high-end missions are impossible with the AI, so I need the help of two people that completed this part of the game. I generally do not work on the weekend, so that is when I'm normally online. If you are a Final Fantasy 15 Comrades player on the PlayStation 4, hit up John Galt 002 on that there PSN. Andrea.
Yes, Greg.
We asked people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screwed up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. What did we mess up today?
Today, Zephyr once again gave me a nice compliment on my outfit. Thank you. Lord of Pwn says, for comparison, God of War hit play from start to finish 16 months before it launched.
Okay.
And that game looked gorgeous. True. So that's a good comparison. Thanks, Lord of Pwn.
Wait, a comparison to
when we were estimating for Cyberpunk, like how far out is it? So 16 months from now would be holiday 2019.
I just feel there's more variables for Cyberpunk than there were God of War. And I'm not trying to put down God of War, of course. I mean, Corey Barlog, dirtbag. But I'm not putting down God of War. I'm just saying that I feel like there's more variables in terms of what could break and do this as you get into how many cheese wheels you're carrying and what you're fucking putting on your face.
True. Zephyr773 says, an additional point on the NBA Live discussion.
Play it on me.
If you pre-order the deluxe edition, you get it 4 days early, allowing you to play on September 7th. No, wait, that's the actual release date. Meaning not only would NBA Live 19, which is regaining some popularity, but still isn't on the level of 2K, to compete with Spider-Man, it has to compete with NBA Sim King NBA 2K.
I mean, it's yeah, it's true. I was joking around. I mean, remember, Spider-Man's on one platform. I'm sure a lot of these fucking athlete nerds out there talking about their LeBron James don't even know about Miles Morales. Fucking losers. Sure.
Lord of Pwn, it was the 500 million PS4 Pro, not the 500,000.
Thank you very much. That's a great point. Man, PlayStation across every PlayStation console. So 500,000. What a success.
Mike says, not a year wrong per se, but I wanted to help out a fellow best friend. Jeff wrote in asking about wanting a 2 terabyte PS4 Pro. My suggestion for him would be to put his current PS4's 2 terabyte drive into the Pro and then put the Pro's 1 terabyte drive into his current PS4. So swapping the drives. Alternatively, you could also consider buying a USB 3 external drive and using that as added storage for games.
Yep, correct. But remember, of course, if you take a hard drive out of a PlayStation, put it in another PlayStation, it's not going to be like, oh, cool, I'm a PlayStation. It's going to go, I got to reformat this bitch and erase everything. Yeah. So if you, like, I think I'd never finished the thought. I'm of course crazy, and I know you are not like me, and many people aren't like me. I would just nuke the whole thing if that's what you want to do. Yeah, pull the hard drive out and put it into the PlayStation 4 Pro. But if you want to do that thing where you make it transfer and all that, that's where it gets complicated.
Yeah, you need an external drive.
And again, it's so simple to put a new drive into the PlayStation 4. Don't worry about it.
Michael Leary says, Best Buy doesn't actually have Spider-Man Edition PS4 Pros in stock. The PS directory that links to different retailers mislabels availability on the regular. Good to know.
Fucking bastards.
Charles J says, correction to Insomniac has 4 games out. They've shifted part of their teams to VR and mobile. That is true. They put out actually quite a few VR titles. Mm. 12 total.
Hi, counting
all announcements. That's 12 total across all types of games.
Okay.
All announced and released games for this gen. I don't even know how to say this name. Senagogkishkastop?
Is that the From Software game?
No, that's the name of the person who wrote
it. Oh, my apologies.
Greg said that GTA 5 was released this gen. It was released in September 2013 for last gen consoles and then ported to the current gen.
I know it was ported. That's what I was saying. You remember right before in the sentence when I talked about The Last of Us Remastered coming over? Calm down, everybody. I'm stupid, but not about that part. Sorry, I thought you were from Software Game.
Giant Robot Gaming says, Japan does the lottery system for pretty much all limited edition items. To get the tickets for the lottery system, usually they are only available in magazines that cover said items, certain sites, and social media promotions. Then you submit your ticket and hope you are selected to buy one. Then, as Andrew said, if you are selected, you get your window to purchase one. The other way to do them is to put a limited edition for pre-order months before for a week or so, and then it will actually produce all limited products that were ordered. They will make no more. No need for any hassle or refreshing crazy. That's true.
That's not a bad idea.
Zephyr says, another point to compare game numbers from last gen to this gen is that we had 7 years between the PS3 and PS4 and 8 years between the Xbox 360 and the Xbox One. We're just about to hit 5 years of this generation. There's still time.
Great point.
Matt, Patapon is wrong. The last Vita game should be Freedom Wars 2.
Hard to argue with, actually, that's a hard one to argue. That's a great point.
That's
it, Freedom Wars was such a great fucking game. Such a great fucking game. Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. Watch it live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. Watch it later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Listen on podcast services around the globe. Next week, we'll be back with me and Tim on Monday, Andrea and me on Tuesday, Gary and me on Wednesday, Thursday, me and Jared. That can't be right. Jared's going to PAX, isn't he?
No,
but he's going late, so I think we're both on a late flight. And then Friday, it's a GameSpot takeover. Chastity and Kali will be in here to run the show. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.